We'll be okay.
Get it right.
We're going to open the Senate Education Committee February 21st, 2017. And we have a couple work sessions to do first. So the first we're going to do is Senate Bill 187. And so we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 187. And with that, I'll have my vice chair.
Which one? Chair Roblin, I move that Senate Bill 187 go to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the committee
on Ways and Means,
by prior referral.
Okay. So Senator Lithcom has moved Senate Bill 187 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Senate, the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Oh, yes.
Just to say, and I'm going to repeat this many, many times during the course of this session, that we're looking for more comprehensive screening, and this will fit into that very nicely.
Well, okay, fair enough. Any other discussion? Seeing none. Any opposition? Seeing none. That is passed. So Senate Bill 187 is off to the wonderful Ways and Means Committee. With that, we're going to close our work session on Senate Bill 187, and we're going to open a work session on SJR 6, which, if people remember, was a bill regarding backpack usage. Actually, it was a SJR, so it's the Senate Joint Resolution, about backpacks and what harms they can cause. And I had made an earlier problem with that bill in that we sent it to Ways and Means, and it shouldn't have gone there. So we wanted to make sure that all of our friends get to know how to do the process of bringing it back. So Senator Lithicum and I are going to have fun with a few motions.
Okay. I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote by which the committee, that's you guys, sent the SJR 6 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee by prior reference.
So we have a motion on the floor to reconsider.
No, to suspend the rules.
Pardon?
To suspend the rules.
Oh, to suspend the rules. That's right. We've got to suspend the rules so we can reconsider. To suspend the rules. Is there any objection to suspending the rules?
Nah, go ahead.
So that motion passes, and we will now. And it did meet the two-thirds required vote since it was unanimous.
Yes.
Okay, good.
we're going to have a motion.
Now that rules are suspended,
correct.
I move that the vote by which the committee sent SJR 6 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference be reconsidered.
Okay. So now on the floor, there is a move to that the vote by which the committee sent SJR 6 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, committee by prior reference, be reconsidered. Is there any discussion on the reconsideration of Joint Resolution number 6? I see none. Is there any opposition to the said motion? I see none. So moved. So.
Now that we're reconsidering the bill, I would like to make a motion to move Senate Joint Resolution 6 to the floor with and be adopted as recommended.
So Senator Lethicum moves SJR 6 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion?
I have about 12 questions.
Oh, good. I'm ready.
Just kidding.
Any questions?
Do they have anything to do with the bill?
No.
What?
Your questions. I know you've got lots of questions. Do they have anything to do with the bill?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. I gave up my backpack a long time ago.
So just to make it clear, not only in this bill, but on the previous bill that had to do with backpacks, Senate Bill 216, that material provided by the people who recommended that bill, the chiropractors, in electronic form can be used by the department as the material that they need to send out to the schools. If other people want to get some electronic material that would be helpful in understanding that, they can send it to the department and they can pass it along. But I just wanted to make it clear that we weren't trying to have them develop all this material and that kind of stuff. And I think that wasn't as clear on the previous conversations we had, but hopefully that's clear now. With that, is there any opposition to SJR 6 going to the floor with a be adopted recommendation? I see none. it has passed. We do need to put a carrier, and since I created enough issues with this bill, I will carry the bill. And with that, we will close the work session on SGR 6, and we will look for Rex Senator Cano. I was waiting for you.
My cohort on Bill.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't want to give me the gavel.
Blame him though.
So we're going to come back into operation, and we will have a short explanation of the bill, and then we'll let my co-sponsor of this bill have a conversation about it.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 574 raises the threshold under which school districts may receive additional state school fund money for students eligible for special education from 11% to 13%. It increases the amount transferred each year to the high cost disabilities account from $35 million to $36 million. It establishes that threshold and account transfer increases commence with the 2017-18 distributions. It declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2017.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the Education Committee. I'm State Senator Tim Knope, Senate District 27, and I represent Bend, Redmond, Sun River, and Tumalo. And over the last few years, we've heard from constituents that the funding level, or the 11% as it were, for special education just hasn't been keeping up with their costs. And so I think the good senator, the good chair, and I teamed up, 15?
We did.
To introduce this bill, and we wanted to bring it back and again shed some light on the need and the situation. And clearly, we have been challenged in recent bienniums on education funding, and that has also put pressure on districts' abilities to serve kids in that kind of that special education arena. And so this bill simply moves it from 11% to 13%, and I think adds $1 million. And so I think it's a bill that should be in the mix as it relates to the other things that are being funded in education. And so we wanted to make sure that it had that opportunity. And so I would guess that probably the people in Ways and Means would have to take a look at this. And so, our job as policymakers is to identify the things that we would like them to fund. And then I think, since you're on Ways and Means, I guess you're the funding. So you just go ahead and fund it. And there you go. But I think it is it's a serious, serious issue that I think really needs attention. And so that's why the good chair and I have teamed up again to bring it forward and bring it to everybody's attention and see if we can reach some resolution maybe this session.
Any questions? Then I'll make a comment too. Thank you. So my issue has been hardly any school district out there doesn't meet the 11% threshold. Most of them, the average now is over 13. I think it's 13.4%. And so every year, you go start figuring out how many people you have, and then you have to write an exception to the Department of Ed based on that. And almost every school district in the state now fills out new forms to show why they are above the 11% so they can get a part of that little bit of money. I'm hoping that if we actually get it to where approximately the real issue is, most districts will fall under it or right around it, and there won't have to be as many people writing plans and explaining why they need to get more than the 11% because their school district actually fits within the limit that we currently have set for at the 11%. So we're going to get to hear about that more in the future, and I'd be glad to answer any questions people have too. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for
tracking
you down. Helping me bring the bill forward. And nobody could probably say no to a principal. So
there you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Actually, I did, but that was really a mistake.
And thanks for being able to be found.
You bet.
Okay. So with that, we have four people who would like to talk. So let's go with Sean Metzger, Lori Wimmer, Morgan Allen, and we'll leave Richard Donovan. If you want to bring a fourth chair up, you can come on up if you want. Thank you all for being there. You haven't done it before you get this year, so you might as well be first.
Okay. Senator, or Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Soren Metzger, and I'm with the Oregon School Employees Association. We represent 21,000 classified school employees throughout the state, including school bus drivers, instructional and educational assistants working in special education. I'm here today to talk about Senate Bill 574, and you've all learned what Senate Bill 574 does. And I would say we're supportive of the idea behind Senate Bill 574, especially as we see the number of students in special education steadily increasing. SPED support personnel have not been restored to their pre-recession staffing levels, and I think the investment in our students is necessary. All of that being said, our concern about Senate Bill 574 is that it doesn't create new revenue for the state school fund. What it does is it redirects scarce money in the state school fund. And I'm optimistic that this legislative body will actually be able to pass stable and sufficient revenue revenue reform so that we can invest in all of our students equitably. So with that, thank you so much, Chair Roblin and members of the committee. And since this is my first time testifying this session, I can take some softball questions.
And we'll save it for all of them, okay. So you can be a part of the group. Thanks. Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer, representing 44,000 members of the Oregon Education Association. And we, too, wanted to just point out that this doesn't create a larger pie. It creates larger slices of pie and shifts them around to the tune of about $57 million, I was just told. And when you shift things around, of course, you create winners and losers unless you're able to independently fund that shift. We do think that, as you said, Mr. Chair, that the need is under-anticipated with an 11% cap. And we know that the history of the funding formula is that the idea was that districts not be allowed to so-called game the system by overcounting. And so a cap was meant to discourage that. But it also is such an arbitrary line, and students aren't served if they're not served with the appropriate level of funding. But we would say that about all students. And so if we could suggest a friendly amendment, it would be a funding level of the state school fund of at least $8.4 billion and another $57 million to fully fund this bill, if you are inclined to pass it, so that it doesn't create a system of winners and losers. The other thing that we would suggest is that you have the Legislative Revenue Office do their traditional run where they are able to show you who the winners and losers are district by district so that you can see the illustration of this point, because it's sometimes counterintuitive. You would think that if you have 14% kids or 13% of your kids who are on IEPs, that means you would get 2% more money than you would get under an 11% cap. But that's not how it works because of all the other parts of the formula that change the way that works. Large districts tend to get a distortion effect on how the formula spreads across 197 districts. So for that reason, we would urge you to proceed cautiously. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. Morgan Allen here on behalf of COSA. This is something we hear a lot about from our school district superintendents and administrators, and we certainly are supportive of the policy, and we've talked about this before. And I think the challenges that Ms. Wimmer and Ms. Metzger identified, we would agree with those. You know, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, the statewide average is now 13.29% of our students are identified with special education. But it's very similar to full-day kindergarten. You know, if you move the cap from 11 to 13% and run it through the sausage-making machine of the formula, it adds about 8,000 weights to the school funding formula, which, as Ms. Wimmer said, comes out to about $57 million a year, or $114 million a biennium you'd need to add to the formula to smooth it out so that the districts would actually see the full increase and the full impact of that increased special education weight. And Mr. Chair, you also mentioned the special education waiver cap, something that not a lot of people know about, but my understanding from talking to the Department of Ed is that that's an additional $75 million of biennium that the state school fund appropriates to districts that are above 11%. And it's not a formula like a weight, but it's based on severity and incidence of special education in districts. So if you have a lot of students who need a lot of support or a very high percentage of students, you can get extra money through that weight. So that may be another mechanism as we're looking at the idea of moving the line. There's already a lot of money, you know, $75 million moving around in that special education waiver cap as well that maybe would be appropriate to look at as a policy option. But I think it goes back to the primary issue, which is you would need to add a significant amount to the state school fund to have a smoothing effect on the weights for everybody else within the system.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For your record, Richard Donovan on behalf of OSBA. Most of what I was going to say, my colleagues have already said, so I'm just going to kind of follow on by saying 8,000 new weights in the formula represents a little bit more than a 1% increase. There's about 700,000 in 2016-17. And OSBA is very supportive of the policy. Students need the proper support. And as everybody has said, they're probably not getting it now. But the general concern is that we're in the midst of a tough budget situation, and we're not sure that we'd be concerned about the effect that this would have on the state school fund if you're talking about $57 million now for this policy. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Any questions for this group? I guess my question is, because I'm one of those people who doesn't really believe we should go in and mess around with the formula too much, because exactly the comments that were made here, we go back and forth when we do that trying to figure out winners and losers. It's a distribution formula. It's how we decided to spend the money around. There comes a point, though, in certain of these subpopulations, if we're really going to serve them well, I think we need to be honest about what the numbers are. And so I appreciate the fact that all of you understand the policy reasons for maybe making the change. I do understand that if you add that many more weights, when you divide the pie up, those weights come into effect, and if you have them, you do okay. If you don't have them, you do less. And I haven't seen the runs that Ms. Wimmer was talking about, but I do understand that things that are unexpected happen when you run the formula with all these extra weights. So I will continue to look for money and resources. I understand what you're saying, and I'll talk with Senator Canope as well. But I think that at some point, in the not-too-distant future, as an education group, we really need to get together and have conversations about the reality of these different things. Because this is just one of those places. TAG is another one. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that we've chopped and diced since we made the formula those many years ago that have weird anomalies that take place, and we don't end up serving the people the way we probably should. I tend to agree also that we need more revenue overall. So that's not an argument from my perspective. But thank you for coming, and thanks for being honest about how it affects each and every one of you and your organizations. And it's nice to see everybody in agreement. That doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I could. Yes. Talking formula, I think it was in 2001, we proposed legislation while I was still in the House to eliminate the weights. Because it's very complicated. And part of the reason we did that, it was a representative at the time by the name of Ken Strobeck. He and I did that. And part of the reason for that was the Camas Valley superintendent had called the Department of Education and asked them to explain the weight system to him because they thought they were being shortchanged. And the response they got from the Department of Education was that the formula is too complicated to explain. And I think that's probably true, which points to a point. But the research we did at that point in time, and knowing who was Speaker of the House when most of those weights were installed, I believe it was Vera Katz, what we discovered was that if we eliminated the weights and went to a straight ADM, every school district in the state would get more money except for Portland and Woodburn. That was the reality. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get any progress on that. But it's so complicated that you're right. If you add one more thing, it has ripple effects through the whole system. And I think at some point it might be worthwhile to take a really hard look at that.
And I know you've had conversations about that before, too.
Yep.
That's why I brought up full-day kindergarten, just for Senator Ass's benefit, because we've talked about that before.
And that was a point, because I was, Ms. Chair, I was on the kindergarten committee, and the condition we put on that was we would go to full day if we could afford it. We didn't fund it, but we went to it anyway. So it just added more to the mix. And I'm afraid we're thinning the soup maybe in the wrong places.
There are a few districts that have talked to me about the fact that they don't have a lot of disproportionate subgroups. And so they always end up, no matter what everybody does, they always end up with less than everybody around them because of that. Some of the districts around them have a high proportion of one or another, and it does create a problem. So,
well, it's Mr. Chairman, if I may, the formula is made. It's a zero sum game, and task forces and smart people who have looked at trying to overhaul it. Whenever you have a recommendation and it doesn't involve everybody, then there's going to be opposition to it, because my school gets hurt under that plan. Right. And this beast has been created that is almost impossible to change, and unless you get the equivalent of a base closure commission or something to come in, and we live by their recommendations. And not that it's a horrible thing. It's just it's the whole idea is to make it equal, so that every kid gets an equal system. Because without it, then you have the opposite problem, where you have your best schools in Lake Oswego, and we don't want to go that back to that either. So there's a certain balance there.
And the conversations that happen here about formula that are really frustrating are, they say, well, we have this many students that are in this subgroup and they get 1.5%, so we've worked that out, and all of that money should be spent on those kids. And that was never the intention of the program. The program was to say, this is the most equitable way we can distribute the money, and then local school districts are supposed to figure out how they're going to use that money to serve all of their kids. And that's a hard conversation to have if you're one of those subgroup kids, parents, trying to figure out how to get resources for you. And to say that, well, it's a distribution formula, it's not an allocation formula, and it makes people a little bit crazy. So, yes.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, if we're talking about resource adequacy for our special ed kids, the IDEA was passed by Congress with the promise of a 40 cents on a dollar reimbursement, and they've never gotten above, I think, something like 17 cents. Yeah. And it was the high water mark, and we're less than that now.
Thank you very much. So I see all these other people out there. If you've turned the camera around so you can see the crowd, because they've been wanting to be on camera. Is there anyone here that would really like to speak to this particular bill? I won't bring people who were on those committees that made the formula to come up, but there are still a few in the building.
Is it allowed for Chuck to be in the room and not talk at all?
He's acting as the mayor of Salem, and therefore he's just checking out his city.
Got it.
Check the parking.
That's a cute story, too. Okay, with that, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 574. There's no other business to come to the committee, so you're going to get a little bit of free time today. We had a couple other bills, but their sponsors had asked them to be removed at the last minute because they weren't quite ready. So any good of the order things from anyone? Okay, thank you very much. We're going to adjourn the Senate Committee on Education today, the 21st of February. February. Committee on Education today, the 21st of